Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the marriage program on Radio Islam International on this Saturday morning, the 11th of November 2017. Lots to look forward to in the program this morning, a jam-packed program we have lined up for you, keeping you company up until 10 a.m. inshallah. We have the nikah announcements firstly. Thereafter we will be joined by Muallima Abira Peer up until 10:30. We'll be playing your YouTube clip as well, and then in the last few minutes of the program, or rather the final 15 to 20 minutes of the program, we will be joined by Idris Khamisa. Now, Idris Bhai has been on safar. He has been traveling in the last few weeks, and that is why you've not heard his voice on the airwaves of Radio Islam International, but he will be joining us later, and we will be speaking about his book, you know, Premarital Conversations and Beyond. And this was a book that was written and compiled by Idris Bhai Khamisa and Sister Nazrana Chisat. We'll be speaking a bit about that book and also some of the contents in it, and Idris Bhai will be taking us through it, inshallah. Looking at the nikah announcement, we begin with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَعْلِنُ النِّكَاحَ وَجَعَلُوهُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Announce the nikah and perform them in the masjid. The nikah of Muhammad Jada, the son of Ayyub and Asya of Ridgeway, to Maryam Mullah, the daughter of Abbas and Rayhana of Mayfair. This nikah will be taking place today, the 11th of November, after Asr Salah. And the venue for this nikah is Nurul Islam Masjid. That is the nikah of Muhammad Jada to Maryam Mullah. Nikah taking place after Asr Salah, the venue for this nikah, Nurul Islam Masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the marriage with happiness, barakah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them pious offspring. Right, shortly we will be joined by Muallima Abira Peer, and this week Muallima will be looking at the topic, Build the Foundation of Marriage on Faith in Allah. That the entire foundation of your marriage should start with having faith and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be joined with her in the next few minutes. We take a short break. When we come back, we will have Muallima on the line. 16 minutes past the hour of 9 here on Radio Islam International, and we are joined on the line by Muallima Abira Peer. Muallima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Jazakallah khair Mulana for having me.
The topic that we're looking at this morning, that, you know, building the foundation of marriage on the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not on the emotions.
Jee Mulana, if we look at relationship in general, and of course here we are generalizing. When relationships are based on feelings, you know, we have to understand that feelings change. We are emotional beings. We have feelings and emotions, and within one day we can go through different states of feelings and emotions. And so when we base our relationship on those emotions and emotions of love and, you know, all the other feelings that goes with it, we find that those relationships fluctuate. It's never steady. Because when a relationship is based on feeling, that means at one point a person can love. At another point a person can be angry. At another point a person can even feel feelings of hatred or extreme dislike. So then what happens to that relationship? That means that relationship is in a constant state of flux. It's fluctuating all the time, and because it is not steady, it becomes a rocky and an unstable relationship. When the relationship is unstable, it makes the people within the relationship feel very insecure. And when there is insecurity, the person is not able to totally commit to the relationship. Now, we know that any relationship is based on commitment. In fact, everything is based on commitment. If you want to study, you have to be committed to your studies. If you pursue a particular career, you have to be committed to that career. If you have a particular job, you're committed to the job. And the more committed you are to what you are doing, the more successful you will be in that thing. So the same thing with our marriage. We find that many marriages are fostering, you know, many couples are struggling within their marriages. And we find this happens because of the instability of the relationship and because of the insecurity that that instability creates within the couple. But when the couple are totally and absolutely committed, we see a difference. We can see a difference in the relationship. And what does that mean? What does that commitment mean? That commitment means committing in three ways, actually. It's to commit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when we get married, what is it that we do? At the time of nikah, what is it that that couple is doing? They are making a commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are committing, you know, the man is committing to taking this woman into his nikah, and that he will look after her, he will protect her, and he will love her, he will take care of her. So that is a commitment that is made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, the wife enters into the nikah, that she will be, you know, under the care of the husband, under the guardianship of the husband. She will love him and care for him and do whatever she needs to do in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from her. And so together they make this commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it's a commitment that they make to the institution of marriage. Firstly, it's committing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, it's committing to marriage, knowing what marriage is all about, and knowing the rights and the responsibilities that goes with that position, being in that institution, what that institution entails. Because this is an institution that is being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a divine institution, and therefore, you know, a party, when they enter into a nikah, they have to know what marriage is all about. They have to know what they need to do within that institution. They need to know, you know, everything that they need to do to make this institution work, which means they have to commit themselves to the institution of marriage. And not just, you know, the fairy tale perception of what marriage really is about when it is based on love, when it is based purely on emotion, because then that changes, then that love changes, and that marriage can then just easily be dissolved, and a person can just walk away and say, you know, thinking that, okay, we love each other, we go into this relationship, this marriage, and we'll see what happens. A marriage is not seeing what happens. Within marriage, you have to make it happen. And that, to make it happen, it takes a commitment from both parties to be committed to the institution. And then thirdly, it requires a commitment to each other. That the husband and the wife, that they commit to each other, that they will be there for each other. And then again, going back to the Quran, going back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from a couple in terms of this relationship, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, that you are a garment to each other. What does that mean? How am I a garment to my husband? How am I a garment to my wife? What we have to give and what, you know, we have to take from the other party. And so going back into all of that, going back our deen, looking at the deen, at what the commitment of the couple are, you know, to each other. So it's not just based on the feelings that we have, because when there is the true commitment to each other, then you will find that within the marriage, the couple won't stray. One of the parties won't stray. They won't have, you know, the interest in chatting to members of the opposite sex, having the social interaction with the opposite sex, getting involved intimately with people outside of the marriage when there is that commitment. But if we look at the statistics around us of the divorce rate, not just in this country, not just in the Muslim world, in the whole world, you look at the dismal rate of divorce, that 50% of all marriages end in divorce, yet those marriages are based on feelings. Those marriages are based on love. So then we can ask ourselves the question, what has happened to that feelings and what has happened to that relationship? Because the feelings change, it impacts on the marriage, it impacts on the relationship. But when this relationship is based on that commitment, and because that commitment also constitutes accountability. It's accountable, that the person is accountable. You are accountable. Firstly, you are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way in which you conduct yourself and the way you treat yourself, all of that with the realization that we base it on the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even though when we get married, we might not be very happy with how our spouse is. There are certain things we are not happy about. We find that things are not as ideally as we had anticipated it to be. But when we know that we have done this on the basis of our faith, our tawakkul, our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this person in my life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this person in my life for a reason. And this person is a test in my life. And yes, and I am accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for how I deal with this person. And that is what makes for a very solid foundation and a solid marriage. Because then we are accountable. We are accountable to each other, but over and above that, we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a team effort that goes into this whole relationship.
That when a person is, you know, conscious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then anything he does, you'll find that a person will be successful. And we should have the same attitude belief when we go into a marriage as well, that firstly we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be judged, you know, according to our actions. So firstly looking at our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person then, perfects that relationship, or when a person works on that relationship, it will then flow over into all the other relationships that he has. That if you correct that relationship, you'll find that everything around you will also then fall into place, whether it be the relationship with your spouse or the relationship with your parents, with your children, with your teachers. All of that then just falls into place.
That's it. Because of the accountability, because the accountability and the consciousness and awareness of our responsibilities and our obligations and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wants from us. And therefore, within the relationship, when a couple continuously work together, we are told in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, you know, nikah, performing nikah is completing half of our iman. And then when the husband and wife together work towards the other half, to completing, to making the complete picture, so they're there, they help each other, they guide each other, they encourage each other, they work together to create that environment, firstly, within themselves, that connection, that relationship, strengthen the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they create that ideal home environment that subhanAllah, that our deen requires and wants from us, that spiritual home, that home of ihsan, that home that is, you know, has an Islamic ethos. And when children that grow up in that, they grow up in a stable environment, they grow up in a loving environment, they grow up in that deeny environment, it definitely has an impact on the kids and the kind of children that we will, and people that we will produce from this marriage. And obviously it spills out to all of our other interpersonal relationships as well.
Yes, Jazakumullah khairan, Mu'allima, for joining us on the show and sharing with us those advices.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mu'allima Abida Peer joining us this morning and speaking about building that connection, building that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we perfect, or when we keep on, that effort on that relationship and on building that trust and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, building that quality, that knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything we do and acting according to the commands of Allah, then you'll find that a person will filter through into all the other aspects of life, and a person will then be able to live a more easy or a more comfortable or a more more stress-free life. 29 minutes past the hour of 9, we take a short break. When we come back, we will be airing for you a short YouTube clip that will take us till about 22:10, and thereafter we'll be joined by Brother Idris Khamisa. 26 minutes to the hour of 10 here on the Marriage Program on Radio Islam International. And we are looking at this morning. We had spoken to Muallima Awida Peer, and then later we will be joined by Idris by Hamisa. But right now, we're going to play for you a clip. And this is a clip that I found online, where one of the marriage coaches or these marriage gurus, they speak about, you know, avoiding arguments in a marriage. Now, all arguments cannot be avoided in a marriage. At times you are going to have disagreements, you're going to argue about stuff, but more on the line of how to manage that and choosing which arguments or which battles are really, or rather, which arguments are, you know, are worth it, and which ones we should have and which ones we shouldn't have. So take a listen to this clip.
Okay, so I'm going to begin by talking about a few ways to prevent arguments with your spouse. A little bit later in the video, I'll talk about what to do if you find yourself in a heated dispute with your partner. But these first few tips are designed to help you avoid getting into arguments in the first place. Tip number one, pick your battles. Humans are imperfect creatures, and your spouse is no exception. It's inevitable that your partner is going to do or say certain things that are going to irritate you. So it is important to take a step back and really evaluate what's worth fighting for. Is it really a huge issue if your husband forgets to water the plants? Do you really need to get into a screaming match every time your wife leaves a few dirty dishes in the kitchen? At the end of the day, you need to decide what you can live with and what's worth battling for. Tip number two, apply my 30-minute rule. One of the most effective methods that I teach to my coaching clients is what I call the 30-minute rule. It's a pretty simple concept, really. Anytime you have a complaint or an issue that you want to raise with your spouse that may lead to an argument, wait at least 30 minutes before you broach the subject with your partner. And as simple and dumb as this may sound, you'd be amazed at how often it can prevent an argument from happening. Taking 30 minutes to think things over before bringing up a complaint or an issue allows you to cool down, step back, and take a look at the bigger picture. Sometimes you may realize that whatever it was that you were upset with isn't worth an argument at all. And other times it may just give you time to think about how you can discuss the topic with your partner in a civilized, non-confrontational manner. Which brings me to my next point. Tip number three, work out a plan in advance. If you use the 30-minute rule that I just talked about, and I strongly recommend that you do give it a try, then you'll always have at least half an hour to think about what you're going to say before you dive into a heated discussion with your spouse. I always suggest deciding exactly what you're going to say to your spouse in advance. And if you and your partner have serious problems with frequent arguing, then it may even be worthwhile to write down what you're going to say. If you stick to the script, you'll help to avoid saying something that can turn a civilized discussion into a major argument. And in addition to deciding in advance what you're going to say, also think about what your ideal outcome would look like. What are you trying to achieve? How are you going to achieve it? You should enter any potential argument knowing the answers to both of those questions.
You will be sharing with us a few tips as we go along. There's about 8 or 9 tips that they speak about. So we will play you a clip each weekend, inshallah, each Saturday for the next few weeks. And important that about, you know, the 30-minute rule, as you had mentioned, that, you know, giving yourself that bit of time to calm down. Time, you know, to think over things, to think about the situation rather than in that state of anger when you address something, you might end up saying something that you don't mean, or even saying something that really it's just the anger speaking and not what you really feel. So just giving yourself that bit of time to think about it, and at times you realize, you know what, it wasn't even worth the argument, it wasn't even worth the entire fight. It gives you the time to calm down a bit, it gives you the time to analyze things, think over it, what is it that you really want to address, what is it that is really bothering you in that type of a situation. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we are joined by Idris by Hamisa. Welcome back to the show. We are joined by Idris by Hamisa on the line. Idris by, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my beloved Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Idris by, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah. You know what? You know, we make shukr that we alive this morning. Alive with possibilities, alive to get closer to the Creator, and alive, inshallah, to hopefully make an impact on the people that we meet, you know.
Yusufai, you know, the listeners were getting a bit worried. They haven't heard Yusufai on the airways for a long time. You know, they're phoning in, where's Yusufai? We haven't heard him. Yusufai was on a safar on journey the last few weeks.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I was in Spain and Portugal. And, you know, you cannot thank Allah enough that one is able to travel. because when you are traveling, you confront yourself, you look at the history of the people who have done great things and also the history of those who have not done so many great things. So there are lessons of inspiration from those who have left a legacy, a positive legacy, and a lesson to take from those who made mistakes, and that how we as thinking human beings ought not to replicate the mistakes of other people, you know.
That is true. To the listeners, you can interact with us. You can send in your messages to us, and we will share it with you. Please by the WhatsApp number 0727861548. That is the WhatsApp number 0727861548. You can even SMS us on 48855, or you can even call in at 011-854-1548. It is by this morning we're speaking about, you know, the book Premarital Conversations and Beyond, that was written and compiled by yourself and Nazrana Jassat, and just, you know, paging through it, it's a very interesting book, and even if you look at some of the reviews that have been written by the different scholars and different people, all of it, you know, all of it positive, showing that, you know, it's a very important book. It is by just to start off this year, you know, what was the purpose and what was the reason behind, you know, compiling or writing this book?
You know, Allah works in mysterious ways. I'll tell you what happened. I've never met Nazrana in my life. And I recall when I was doing a program in Radio Islam about anger management, then I think she phoned the station to say that she is involved with all of these things. And then what I used to do, and then now and then when I had people phoning me up with some issues, I used to ask him to contact Nazrana. Then in the month of Ramadan, she reconnected with me, and then I just said to her, let's write a book, you know, and she agreed, and alhamdulillah, and within a few months, we put our thoughts together. And but the reason behind this book, I mean, they every day, and ask those people involved with family counseling, marriage counseling, they'll tell you every day these the stories you hear of pain, of divorce, of anger. It's unbelievable. I don't think the South African Muslim Ummah have are going through trials that have gone through before, and it's unbelievable. So we felt that perhaps, you know, we expend so much energy helping those that are in the situation, and helping those that are receptive or want to be helped. Because you get those that you advise them, you guide them, but they're not prepared to take that advice. Because as a person from the outside, as objective people, you are able to quantify each situation. For example, we can tell a couple, you know, brother and sister, you know, what you are going through is not as bad as what others are going through. And those others have gone through worse things, have managed not only to secure or consolidate the relationship, they managed to take the relationship to another level, and they are very happy together. But why don't you also do the following things? And then sometimes, Allah's blessing, you hear from them, alhamdulillah, they have reconciled and they have done different things to sort themselves out. Then sometimes you get a situation that they say, no, he is continuing the way he is continuing. His mother is making demands on me again, and I'm not prepared to go back. So we felt strongly that if we, as parents, as young people want to marry, if we expend those energies on premarital counseling and understanding what marriage is all about, what you need to look for in a person, inshallah, so that you can anticipate a joy in that relationship. So we felt that this book should be mandatory, compulsory reading, you know, for any individual who wants to marry. And we felt that, you know, the as you spoke about the reviews, you know, the people have been exceptionally positive, saying that it's very, very practical. The whole idea is this, that people need to understand that if you feel some chemistry with someone else, that is not enough to for your marriage to work. And besides, as I asked in this book, we share 30 differences between infatuation and love. And many people who think they are in love, in fact, are infatuated. And being in love itself does not necessarily mean that that's a recipe for happiness in your marriage.
And I see one of the chapters in that book, it is by, you know, The Chemistry of Love. And they speak about, you know, the three different, or the three phases of love, that it all starts off, you know, with lust and then it's attraction and attachment, all of them equally important. And maybe this is, you know, sometimes where we fail to understand as youngsters the three different phases or even the three different types of it or differentiating between these three different things. And I see, you know, it's important for them to understand this, that one is the feeling that you are going through when you think or when you perceive that you are in love, but also to be able to understand what exactly your body is going through at that time as well. You know, when you understand yourself properly, that is when you'll be able to understand what feelings you're actually going through.
Absolutely. And, you know, the fundamental thing is before you try to understand the person you want to marry, you've got to first discover yourself. You've got to know exactly who you are. You must know exactly what feelings you're going through. You've got to also understand what is your temperament, you know, what are your values, what are things that will make you happy, and what makes you happy, does it mean it ought to make the other person happy? And each one of us is a product of our home environment. We do things differently. You'll find that there are so many instances of first cousins getting married. They come from almost similar backgrounds, yet you find that their marriages do not even work out also. So what's the issue? The issue is that each one of us is a unique being, and the marriage institution is a sacred institution, and there are many, many fundamental things that can either break up a marriage or you can help to enable the marriage. And you will know also, you know, that today you find at the slightest pretext, you want to call off things, you know, we say no, you know, they're incompatible. And our parents never spoke about incompatibility. They never spoke about those things. What they had the emotional maturity to adjust to different environments. And I remember my beloved mother was only 15 when she got married. 15. She got married at the age of 16. And, you know, she and my father stayed together for 58 years, right? And, you know, really, and you know what? They spoke about it, and they had tremendous challenges. And today, you find that the critical thing that, you know, the book also encourages the parental role, the encourages the role model of parents, as it were, and the kind of qualities parents need to inspire in the children that will help the children to ensure stability. Today you speak to mothers and fathers, you know, you say, you tell them, you know, Mubarak, I'm so happy that your daughter is married, your son is married. You know what they'll tell me? Many of them, like, my worry starts now only. Can you believe it? At one time, it's a complete inversion. At one time they said, you know what, alhamdulillah, my responsibilities are over. Remember, they should say those things. Now they say the worry starts now. Can you believe it? And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. And I've seen people, elderly people, who go to the son's or the daughter's house and they, you know, or they say, you know what, I'd rather stay in my home. I cannot endure what's going on in that household. I cannot endure how either my son is being treated or how my son is treating his wife. I cannot handle this. It makes me very, very sad and upset. So the point is this. So this book here is a book, you know, alhamdulillah, we cannot thank Allah enough, you know, in terms of the topics. And we can go to some of these things. And the important thing is this, as a friend of mine suggested, that, you know, these books should be studied in the Darul Uloom, should be studied everywhere else. It can be improved on, alhamdulillah. We are also going to do a second edition on this book here, inshallah.
The important point that you made there is by that, you know, we find that, you know, this reason is given so often that, you know, they're not compatible. But you're not going to have two people that, you know, that are 100%, you know, compatible, that everything that they likes, they dislikes, everything is the same. It's two different people coming together. And, you know, as was said in the book as well, and many times I said it, because marriage lasts because, you know, you learn to accept more. In the past, they would be more acceptable to things. They tolerate more. And in today's time, we find that, you know, that level of, we cannot tolerate that much. We want everything my way, or everything should be this way, or the highway, all of that there. But going into marriage, and it is highlighted in this book as well, you need to learn to accept there are going to be times when you're not going to agree on things. There are going to be times that you might like something and your spouse will disagree.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the point. See, the point that, you know, it's an excellent point that you raised, is marriage is not about agreeing all the time with each other. Then it's a very, very boring marriage. You know, it's a time you discuss things, you do things for the other, and do what is right. And the important thing in life is this, that it's critical that we understand that each person, the husband and the wife, you come from two diverse backgrounds. You are now sharing a space, and it's about how you manage the space. And the critical aspect is this, there's no harm that you disagree, as long as you're not disagreeable, long as there is no rudeness, there is no profanity in your behavior. I mean, and that's important. I mean, the thing is this, that, you know, in life it is natural. I mean, you and your wife may not agree on a particular point for the rest of your life. It does not mean that every time this point is raised, you get into an argument. It is peripheral. It is not an integral part of it. I'm just ignoring. I said, I respect your opinion. You respect my opinion. It's not about a Sharia issue. It's an opinion about something that is mundane or something not relevant to the dynamics of that relationship. Really, I really want to encourage our parents here that not so much to buy this book, but rather they got to ensure that the kids go for a thorough premarital conversation and counseling. And that they must say, no, my son or my daughter, the thing is, what happens is this, there's reluctance on the people to go for it because they become so emotionally entangled. They fear if they go for premarital counseling, they'll realize, hey, you know what, there are some things that are not as rosy as it looks. There are some aspects of his behavior that will not sit too well with me. And what happens, they get into it blindly, thinking that the issue they had concern about suddenly dissipate into thin air. It doesn't happen that way.
That is true. It is why we have come towards the end of the program. And before you do leave us, it is by maybe just share with us some advices or some parting advices.
Yes, my parting advice is essentially that those that are married, take your relationship to another level. Those who are intending to get married, make sure your choices are informed choices. And secondly, make sure that you ask those hard questions. And if you are not satisfied with those answers, no matter how pretty she is or how handsome you are, it will not going to work if there is no compromise. So may Allah be with you and all my wonderful listeners of Radio Islam.
It is, but just before you go, Mafa, there's a few you know, messages that have popped up on the screen just saying that where can they buy the book from?
Okay, they can contact me directly. You can give them my number, and we take it from there. All right.
Okay. JazakAllah khair, Idris bhai. Assalamu alaikum. That was Idris bhai Khamisa speaking to us about the new book that is the Premarital Conversations and Beyond. Those that have asked for the price and where they can buy it from, I will send you Idris bhai's number shortly, and you can contact him. And he will advise you as to where to get that book from. And with that, we do come to the end of the marriage program on this Saturday morning. We hope that you have a beautiful weekend, a resting weekend, and going into the holidays very soon. Many children will be finishing up their exams, I think, in the following week as well. That some by the 20th, 21st, or even before that, they finish up their exams as last. But that you got to encourage them, you got to, you know, sit with them, tutor them, so that they may get good results. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them as well. It's challenging as well, you know, to be married and to be looking after the children in this period. You know, sometimes parents put a lot of pressure on the children. Sometimes you got to help them, you got to sit with them so that they can get good results. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all those. From myself, Ibrahim Dar, and our studio operator this morning, Hanzala, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.